Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad you're with me. I've got another very good guest lined up for you. Well, I say I do. Beth did it. Beth Moodhart in my office. She's my ringer. She goes and gets these great guests, and I get to talk to them and take credit for it. So I'll correct that. Jim Donovan's our guest, author, speaker, coach. JimDonovan.com is the website. What a clever website. Thank you, Jim, for that. And Jim, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Dave. It's my pleasure.
Listen, I'm honored. You are a big deal, and I really love what you're doing. Don't laugh it off. You're a big deal, because I look at all the credentials and your experiences the things you're doing, and I love you're being proclaimed happiness expert. I think all of us should aspire to be a happiness expert.
It's not a bad place to be. That was Fast Company gave me.
Yeah, Fast Company did that for
me. I put that on myself. I'm not that bold to be an expert in anything.
I love it.
I have the easier job than you. You got Beth getting you speakers. All I have to do is answer the phone.
Hey, good for you.
How cool is that?
That's good. I like it. Well, listen, I appreciate your work, and Jim has written the book Happy at Work. And you know, I got to ask the question: why now? Do we have an unhappiness crisis in our country for people at work? What's going on?
Well, yeah, we do. According to Gallup, 2013 poll out of Gallup, the number that's bandied about is 70% people are disengaged at one point or another. Another 8% is the one I love is the 18% that are actively trying to sabotage the company from the inside.
Oh, good grief! That's not
people
good.
Are that miserable. If you're that miserable, you got a couple of choices, right? You can stay or you can leave.
Yeah, right.
And if you can't leave, you have two more choices. You can be happy, you can be miserable.
There you go. So let's assume.
I mean, if you're picking miserable, there's something wrong. And maybe you just don't know how to change, and that's where I come in.
Well, that's right.
I learned all that.
That's where I want to start. We'll go right to it, Jim. Yeah. How does somebody, if they're not happy at work, I guess we can kind of jump around here, but what do people do about it? They're not happy. They're saying, Jim, I hear you and David talk. No, I'm not happy at work. I'm in that 70%. What do I do about it?
Well, like I said, you have two choices, right? You can leave, right? You can, if you're really that miserable. I've never personally stayed very long somewhere. I was terribly unhappy. But there are times when you don't have a choice, right? You're in a situation where you can't leave, and I understand that totally. I have empathy for that. You still have two choices. You can be miserable, you can be happy. And if you're not happy, I have to figure either because A, you don't know how to change how you feel, or B, there is a mental condition that really needs professional treatment. But I'm going to take the bulk of the people think that their happiness is coming from outside somewhere, and it's not. It's coming from what you're telling yourself. It's coming from what you're focusing on. It's coming from what you're saying about your job. Find something to like about the job, even if you want to leave. This is a big one. My wife worked with someone who was hating her job. I said, look, she's stuck until she lets go of that.
Right.
Until she starts to appreciate whatever it is she had. What is this job doing for you? You'll find something to like about it. That's going to bring that energy up a little bit. Now your vibration's going up. Now you're in a place where you can attract something better. You can't attract it from that negative, I hate my job, I hate my life, kind of place. It's impossible. I'll challenge anybody to take me on with this. I've been doing this work for almost 30 years.
Mm.
I know, you know, this is the deal, folks. We control what goes on in our life with our thoughts. It's been written about for 5,000 years. You know, and that's a big one. And people have a right to be happy at work. That's the biggest, you know, everybody's talking about what companies should be doing to make people happy and this and that. And that's all well and good. And that's where I come into the picture with a lot of this in training. But my base, my work is coming from the personal development side.
Mm.
My work is saying, hey, let me show you some things you can do to make yourself feel better anytime you want. That's what I learned how to do. And I learned it going way back to my work in the 80s and 90s, early 90s with Tony Robbins, everybody and their brother. I studied stuff from all angles. And that's kind of what it comes down to. I have to know how to push my own button. If I'm leaving my happiness up to you, we're in trouble.
Yeah,
you
are in trouble, because I'm focused on my happiness, not yours.
Yeah, right. Or if I'm leaving it up to the government, there we go. That's a big one, right? Well, when the government fixes everything, I'll be happier. Yeah,
There you go.
You stay with that thought. But that's what it comes down to, and it's really that simple.
Well, okay, so let me ask you this question, and this is a bit loaded, but I think it's fair, and maybe it's obvious, but why should companies, you know, care about employee happiness? I mean, should they say, look, do your job, we need you to do this, we need you to do that? Why the caring on the part of the company? I mean, I know it's good corporate citizenship and all of that, and a happy worker hopefully is a more productive worker, but can you expand on that for us?
Yeah, sure, and that was the thinking a long time ago. That was like, hey, you come in here, you do your job. I pay you. That's my only responsibility. Just shut your mouth and do your work and go home. And that worked maybe when we were putting bottle caps on bottles in factories.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're talking about knowledge workers and information workers. This doesn't fly so well anymore. But the big deal is not so much, I mean, yes, there's a social responsibility and a human responsibility that people should be content and be happy and be comfortable where they are and where they work and who they're working with. But the bigger, from a corporate perspective, if you want to take it over to the bottom line of the, why should the company care, is because companies that do and that are investing in it are making more money, folks. Hey, hello. Happy people, like you said, are more productive. This is being proven every day. They're doing studies at Harvard, and they find out that people are 31% more effective when they're positive as opposed to negative or neutral. This is from the work Sean Aker did with Happiness Advantage. I mean, and all this data is floating around. I've been talking this stuff for 25 years publicly. But the data is now coming back to support it because they're doing the studies and people are going, hey, why is revenue's down? Revenue's down because your people are miserable, they're disengaged, they're not doing your job, and nothing creative is getting done. If you change that, the revenue will change. And as companies learn that, they're doing it. And it's starting to catch on. It's getting hold, and it's becoming more so because now we have a situation where companies are starting to worry about people leaving. This whole raising the bottom level, the bottom pay scaling places that are doing all that. And there's a lot of in the media right now about companies like, okay, what can we do to make sure these people stay? And one of the things you can do is you can invest in their own development. Give people access to make themselves better. Get them stuff, get them information, get them programs, get them tools that they can use to improve their own life. Because if I'm doing better in my own life, I'm doing better at work.
That's true.
I'm disengaged at work because I'm disengaged from my life in all likelihood. Those are the people I've seen.
Yeah, it's not the only place.
I see all sides of it.
Yeah, it's not the only place where somebody's maybe disengaged.
Yeah. Just, it makes no sense. And now in my whole life, I'm just going through like a drone. And people, you have a right to be better. You have a right to be happy. My whole thing, what's important to me is the individual. And yes, the company will benefit as a result, but it's still the individual. And you as a person should feel good going to work. You shouldn't be unhappy. You shouldn't be miserable.
No, it should not be
stressed out. Someone told me recently 25% of disability claims, anybody who's paying out claims here, pay attention to this one, 25% of disability claims are because of mental stress. Stress issues caused, mental health issues caused by stress is what it comes down to.
Okay, so that's, well,
to me, that's like, wait a minute, we can fix that one. It's not all that hard to fix. Lots of people know how to fix that.
It's a lot of money we're talking about if you're talking about 25% of all disability claims.
Yeah.
A lot of lost productivity.
Here, right? Well, yeah. Numbers. They got numbers, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, but just, you know, as a general comment, that's a lot of money for disability. It's a lot of lost productivity at work.
That's crazy. It's costing, here's where the rubber meets the road. The cost of this, according to Gallup, the cost of the American economy is $550 billion a year. That's with a B. So my challenge to anyone listening who would like to answer this question, you tell me how the United States is going to remain competitive going forward in a world economy with those kind of performances.
Mm-hmm. I know it's a bit of a rhetorical question, but I'll answer it anyway. We can't.
But nobody's saying that. Nobody's taking that to that conclusion and going, we got people, you know, Singapore and some of the Asian countries, Shanghai and Beijing, you look at math and science, you look at what they're doing, you look at the competitiveness that they're putting out there, and then you tell me, how do we compete? How do we go up against that? We don't. Maybe what we do is we outsource. I don't know. But I worry about the American economy without starting to turn this around. But it is turning around. I don't want to be doom and gloom here because positive side of things. It is turning as companies become more aware. Whether the change is being driven by one that helped the people or increased the bottom line, I don't really care. The result is people get help.
Yeah. Well, maybe
bottom line gets increased, so we all win, right? The customer wins.
Well, maybe
hospitals are now tying nursing compensation or hospital reimbursements to nursing happiness because it has to do with patient satisfaction in this whole roundabout study. Same thing. Happier people do better. You make more money. Everybody wins. Everybody wins.
Well, I tell you what, Jim, if we're going to remain competitive as a country, maybe we need to order 300 million copies of your book, Happy at Work.
Did you want to give me a PO number with that?
I thought you'd like that. Yeah, if you're...
I'll give you your very own handwritten edition.
Outstanding. If you're just joining us, Jim, I have Jim's attention now. Jim Donovan's our guest, author, speaker, coach, jimdonovan.com, and the book is Happy at Work. And that's where we want everyone to be happy at work. 60 simple ways to stay engaged and be successful. We'll grab a quick break and we'll be right back with Jim.
Are you looking for a trustworthy local advisor for your investment and retirement planning, but you're not sure how or where to begin? Start by looking for a certified financial planner practitioner. Visit www.cfp.net to search for an advisor in your local area who's earned this highly regarded professional certification. Pick three CFP practitioners. Set an appointment and interview them. Ask questions. Listen carefully to their answers. Check references and research their firms with the Better Business Bureau. This PSA is brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
Hey, we're back. Jim Donovan is with us, author, speaker, coach, and he is a veteran of the happy business. I love it. JimDonovan.com. And the book, Happy at Work. And I wanted to get to some specifics, Jim, because I know that, you know, that's where the rubber meets the pavement. Give me, if you would, three for the folks out there going, you know, how can I do this or how can I do that better? Let's talk a little bit about people managing their time, because that is sometimes part of the challenge that people have at work and, you know, where maybe some of the stress comes from. Do you have some things that we could tell our listeners about things they can do to manage their time better?
I do. A few years ago, I had a situation where I just wasn't finding time for doing physical exercise. And I have a friend who's also my attorney who works out 7 days a week. And he's you know, a middle-aged guy getting up there in years. And he's at the gym 6 days a week, and he runs on the seventh. I said, how do you do that? You have a busy law practice, you have life, you have this and that. And he said to me, I make it one of the five most important things for me to do that day. He said the three most important things. I get it right. I do five, but he said the three most important things. So if you think about that, most people have a to-do list with 40 items on it.
Hmm.
And it's just a bunch of stuff. What's important on it? But then I listen, find three things that will change your life if you do them. Three things that will make a difference in the long run, in the long term. And find a way to get them done. All of a sudden, your productivity goes up.
Well, that's curious.
The important stuff's getting done. The minutiae will fall by the wayside or get done in its own time.
Do you have three of your own that you apply?
I try to apply something physical for sure.
Yeah.
But they're more about, you know, a particular action in a particular area. Like right now, I'm looking at more expanding my marketing to do more workshops and seminars.
Okay.
I want to get the message out to more companies. So that becomes the big, I have to be moving toward that or else I'm spinning my wheels.
Yeah.
No matter what else I do, if I'm not moving toward it, that's an important goal. Things like that. What really matters? That has to get done. What's the most important thing? The other one you can do, and this comes from Brian Tracy's book, Eat the Frog, or Eat That Frog, that we tend to, if you take on the one thing that you least like to do, the one thing that's on your list that you really would like to see it disappear and you keep pushing it back and pushing it ahead, if you do that first, the power and the sense of success that you get from it will make the rest of it go easier. So you get that big, awesome, annoying thing right out of the way up front. And now all of a sudden your day just got lighter.
Yeah.
That's a big part of it. And finding time, making time for things. And to me, it's important. I have my morning ritual. It's pretty much a sacred thing, or else I have to be out of here very, very early. Where I've got my prayer and meditation time. I've got some quiet time built into that. So when I do go out the door, I'm pretty balanced, pretty calmed down, pretty centered. I'm not going to hit the floor and grab a cup of coffee and run into the shower. People do crazy stuff. Get up a little earlier.
Yeah.
Get up a little bit of sleep or a little bit of something. Go to bed earlier.
There you go. Imagine that.
You'll feel better when you're not rushing. There's a chapter in Happy at Work on why you should go to work early. People are like, what? What, are you crazy? But it's a whole thing about how I did that. And again, this is based on my own experience. I had a commuter job for a while. It was freelance training. And I figured out that the only way to not deal with traffic was to leave before it.
Right.
When I did that, I got there faster, so I had even more time on my hands.
Right.
I'd get my coffee and my bagel, and I'd sit in the conference room, and I was working. I wrote most of my second book that way.
Oh, really?
So I got the book done.
You're getting a jump start.
The time I would have spent sitting in traffic because I left 20 minutes earlier. Because most communities, unless you're in New York, 20 minutes will get you out of rush hour.
Yeah, exactly. Write a book, don't sit in traffic.
New York, maybe the day before, you'll beat the rush hour that day. I don't know. New York traffic's a whole different conversation.
That could be the title of your next book, Jim. Don't sit in traffic, write a book.
There you go. But I mean,
you're welcome.
The whole thing was better. I was there. I was relaxed when I got there because I had all the time in the world.
Sure.
So I could hang out in the coffee place if I wanted to. It was just so much less stress because of that. I'm watching everybody else white-knuckling it in the car. By the time they get to work, they're wound up.
Yeah, oh, sure.
Between that and the coffee and multitasking, which no one can do, they've proved that at MIT. I think the study that proved that you can't multitask, but we think we can.
Right.
And they literally put it in front of students and showed them on paper how they could not multitask. And they said, yeah, but we can. It's like, okay. That's a whole other subject that I love is beliefs.
Well, let's do this,
Jim. The facts are.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's grab another quick break. We'll come back. I'd like to talk to you about people who are experiencing problems at work and how they can put those problems to work for them. If you're just joining us, Jim Donovan, author, speaker, coach, the book Happy at Work. Grab a quick break. We'll be right back.
Have you considered an annuity as part of your retirement plan? Did you know that over the past several years, Americans put trillions of dollars into annuities? But despite their popularity, many people aren't sure about annuities. Why? Because annuities have been attacked for decades by financial folks who offer competing products or services. A lot of money is at stake, so some financial firms who only offer investments don't want you to consider an annuity. Get the facts. Find out about this valuable financial resource. Call Holland Financial today and get your free copy of Annuities as Part of Your Retirement Plan at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we are back with Jim Donovan, author, speaker, coach. He's got the book, Happy at Work, because that's what you want to be if you're in the working phase of your life. But if you're encountering problems at work and that's what's making you unhappy, Jim's going to share with us now, because I teed it up very nicely for him to think about it before the break, is the problems you have. Maybe you can put them to work for you. And how do they do that, Jim? How do they take a problem and turn it around and make it work for them?
Well, and this is going to sound like an oversimplification, but I challenge someone to try it, is to just change the way you're representing it. Words are powerful. Okay, I'm a writer, so I get real into words. But words have power. You can change one word in that whole scenario, and the outcome be different. A problem, if I come up to you and say, David, we have a problem in your department, the first thing you do is you start to shrivel, right? You shrink up a little bit, and you go, oh, now what?
Oh, yeah.
If I woke up and I say, listen, we got a challenge we got to deal with. You perk up, you're ready. We take on it. People step up to a challenge.
They avoid problems and step up to a challenge.
Yeah, we look for challenges. Like, yeah, I'll take on the challenge. It's like it pulls people together. It's got this team spirit. The word problem itself is like, oh, God, a problem. Now what?
Mm-hmm.
So you just change it. Change the way you're representing it. And then start asking better questions. I did a whole chapter on questions. But you ask questions like, okay, what's working? And stay with that line of thinking and stay away from the what's wrong and how bad could it be and that kind of stuff, which just does nothing but bring down people's energy. It's all about energy, and it's all about managing your own energy. That's a big part of feeling happy. And that'll change how you feel physically at a moment's notice.
Well,
some of the stuff I learned from Tony Robbins and the NLP crowd.
Let me ask you this, Jim. What about the importance of setting goals? I mean, that's, you know, if you're going to try to be happy and achieve the things you want, I mean, how important is goal setting as part of this process?
To me, it's critically important, but I think I probably do it very differently than a lot of people teach. I'm not a real rigid person to begin with.
I get
my
that.
Life pretty loose. Yeah, I'm just kind of here, folks, having a good time moving through life. And I've been doing that most of my life, whether I knew it or not, except for the part where I was trashing my life. That's another part of the story. I lost it there for a second. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You want to set some goals?
Yeah. I try to keep it a little bit loose, but at the same time, if I don't have goals, and this is what I see from so many people, I've been doing seminars since 1992, and I'll ask people, what do you want? And I get this blank stare coming back at. They've never thought about it. They don't know. They don't have what they want. But when you ask them what that is, they usually can't have an answer. Or the answer is so vague. Like, I want a new car. How about you tighten that up a little bit? How about tell me what kind of car? What color? Start bringing it into your reality, because that's how you get the car. You start the car by, you set the goal, and then you get a picture, and you put a treasure map together, a dream board. A whole bunch of cool stuff you can do in the personal development work that helps to facilitate bringing what you want into your life. There's a whole part of our subconscious, and that's what it does. But you have to make the choices. You have to say, I want a red car, not, anything will do. You have to say, I want to earn X amount of dollars. So goals to me are not an absolute, well, what happens if I don't make my goal? Well, you move the goal, you move something, you change the adjustment. Don't get crazy over it. It's just a target. But if you don't have any goals at all, which is where most people are, how are you going to know when you're happy? How are you going to know when you get what you want if you haven't defined it? What kind of health do you want?
You're defining it.
What kind of health do you want? What kind of money? What kind of work do you do? What kind of relationships? Do you want to travel? Where do you want to go? I had a woman one night, I did a back-to-back seminar, two nights back-to-back years ago. And we were doing some dreams and stuff, and the woman said she wanted to travel. I said, great, where do you want to go? She said, I don't know, I've never been anywhere. I said, well, you know, if you narrow it down a little bit, you have a way better chance. And she came back the next night, she had a whole list of places that she figured out she wanted to go.
Cool.
But until I asked the question, she hadn't written any of it down. How are you going to get there? If you don't first define it, I'm going to go somewhere someday. Those are the people that have not done anything. If you want to live your life, if you want to engage with your life, decide what would make you happy. And it doesn't have to be any major thing. Not everybody has to have a $1 million house. Not everybody has to do this or that. But what is it that makes you happy? Not somebody else's goals, not the goals that showed you on the life of the rich and famous, that you should have this because of what? You know? I know very happy, wealthy people, and I know very unhappy, wealthy people.
I'm sure you do. Well, let me ask you this. Let me jump in here, Jim, for a second. And, you know, that is all very inspiring, and it's all very energizing, and people are going, yeah, I could do that, and I need to be more about goal setting. But back to the person who's like, you know, but I'm in this grind. I mean, I'm just happy when the day's over, and, you know, they're in this really tedious, maybe they've got dull tasks they have to perform. They're not fun.
Right.
How do they get out of that rut?
Well, there's a couple of ways. One of them is one of the things you want to do, and I've been in those jobs. I've been in I've done everything imaginable in my life one time or another. I'll do anything moral, ethical, moral, and legal to survive. but you look at that, you find something good about it. You want to raise your vibration. Again, if you put it in a frequency reference, the higher emotions have a higher frequency, love, joy, all those things measure. They can measure this with kinesiology and all kinds of cool testing equipment. So those higher feelings, those better feeling emotional states have higher frequency vibrations attached to them. Anger and fear and all that stuff has lower vibration. So you literally want to change your vibration. And the way to do that is you start asking, what's good about the situation? What do I like about my job? What is good about my job? The second part, and this is even more important, is that if you're having goals, and this is what I do, for 20 years I've been doing a volunteer program in prison. And here's the difference, and this is where recidivism comes into the picture. And it applies to everyone, not just prisons. If I'm in they come out of jail typically and they get some kind of low-end job, right? So I've got some low-end job and I'm really not happy with it. I'm doing some menial task.
Yeah.
And if that's all I see in my life,
right?
And then with prison, this is why they wind up bouncing back into jail. But if I have some goals, if I have a vision for something better and bigger beyond this, and this just becomes a step toward the life that I'm moving into, wow, now I got a whole different thing going. Because now I don't care what I'm doing. It doesn't bother me. It's not the be-all, the end-all. Hmm. It's just a piece of it's part of the process that I have to take to get where I want to go.
It's not terminal.
And I can feel way better about it. Yeah, exactly. It's just not, because that's what happens. People get this image that this miserable dead-end job that I'm stuck in is where I'm going to be the rest of my life because I can't do this or that or that. And then they start arguing for their limitations.
Hmm.
You know, I can't write books because I don't have a degree, a college degree. Well, I don't believe that because I didn't go to college and I've written 8 books. And stuff like that.
Wow.
We create these boundaries for ourselves. We create our own limitations most of the time. You ask people, they'll give you reasons why they can't do what they want to do. What if you put the reasons aside
true.
And just went and did it? You know?
Yeah, that's true. In fact, many people would give you more reasons why they can't instead of why they can.
Yeah. Oh, one of my classic stories is when I was doing a small business newspaper and I interviewed a sales rep. And this was in June. I said, well, you know, the paper's going to be on the street in September. And I was just getting started. And he decided not to go with it. He went back to his other job. And the paper came out in September. And he calls me up and he said, how'd you do it? I said, how'd I do what? I said, well, how'd you get that out so fast? You were just getting started in June and now it's September and it's on the street. I said, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He said, classic line. Don't you know that it takes 6 months to launch a new publication?
Oh,
I said,
good.
No, I didn't know that. Sorry. Next time I'll have to be sure to take longer now that I know that.
Yeah, didn't you know to limit yourself, Jim? What's wrong with you?
We create these crazy boundaries, and then we put them into a mold, and we follow them. You know, if you look at things that are done, the big accomplishments in our society, they're done by people who just didn't know they couldn't do it.
They didn't know any better that they couldn't do it.
Yeah, they did. That's why I wrote my first book. Nobody told me I couldn't write a book. I kind of knew I could write a little bit, and I figured let the markets figure out if they like it or not. And they did. So it all worked out. But if it hadn't, I would have gone to something else. Because we all have something we can do. We all have a gift. We all have talents that I think our job, a part of our job, is to figure out what they are. It took me 40 years to figure out I was a writer. That's okay. Actually,
that's all right. At times it takes people longer than others to figure out where they're supposed to be. And so if they're not happy right now, Jim, wherever they are with their work, they number one, they see it as temporary. It's not terminal. And two, they look for ways to be happy in what they're doing. They embrace the parts they like. And then in the while they're doing all that, they can be thinking about that next best thing, the thing that they really want to do. And it may take them a little time to get there.
And, well, here's a big public revelation. I was doing menial demo work when I got the idea for Happy at Work, which is turning out to be my best book.
You know, ironic, isn't it?
It's my biggest audience book. I was standing there doing something, and I was looking around the store and noticing that some of the people that worked there were enjoying it and interacting with customers and having a good time, and some of them were walking around looking miserable all day. So I said, gee, what would I tell somebody? I'm a coach. You know, how to be happy. And I wrote like 10 ideas, which became 60 chapters later on. And that's because that comes from enjoying the present moment that you're in. That's how you get the big ideas to have to get out of it. Right? I'm not doing
that
today.
Well, Jim,
but I'm just not.
Very good, Jim. Well, we're out of time, but thank you for being with me. Jim Donovan, author, speaker, coach.
My pleasure.
The website, jimdonovan.com/happy. Happy at Work is the name of the book. In fact, we hope that you'll all pick it up. Jim, thanks for being with me.
Thank you, David. It's my pleasure. Anytime.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.